Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of our Blackhawks Crazy podcast. I'm your Blackhawks pre- and post-host on WGN Radio, Chris Bowden, joined as always by the Chelsea blogger himself, Scott King. We are coming to you from MB Ice Arena with the Zamboni joining us in the background. That's the hum you probably hear. No sticks, no pucks, no rubber shattering the glass or anything like that, and hoots and hollering from the players, but Mr. Zamboni is out. But Scott, we finally have some hockey to watch here in the dead of summer. I'm pretty excited about it because summer has been way too long, and getting a look at some of these kids. Before we talk about the major move that the Blackhawks made right after we posted last week's podcast, by the way, it's at least good to be in a nice, cool building and watching some of these guys that should have, you know, a handful of them should have a pretty bright future for this Blackhawks organization.
Yeah, I think so. It's always a really nice build-up. You get back into this. Summer is too long. You get prospect camp and training camp. Then you see some exhibition games in the season. So, yeah, it's really nice, and this starts it all. And we know that they're going to lean on, and they have to lean on that next wave of defensemen, but it might be a while for some of them. People have to be patient, and that's not because they're that far off skill level, but they need experience. You're talking about guys who Adam Bockfish just picked at number 8 this summer. It's only 17 years old, and some of these guys are 18, 19. So I've been pretty impressed with a handful of them. There's 4 or 5 guys I think are in the mix to be those next few guys, that defensive core. We'll go through some of the names later. But it might be a while, and fans have to be patient. But I like what I've seen so far. And keep in mind, they're just going through drills now, but there's kind of been a debate here in the media room if you can really get a sense for guys' abilities through drills. I think so. I think you can tell a lot about how a guy skates, and they're doing pad work to see how guys take contact. So, I mean, their drills are just drills, but these guys take them seriously as they're getting looked at by Quinville and Bowman here every day until they scrimmage on Friday.
As we record here on Tuesday, 2 more days to go in what have been strictly drills, non-scrimmage action. The scrimmage will come at 9:30 on Friday between the two groups that are separated. Now, we'll get into some of the particulars that may have, you know, jumped out to us in the last couple of days a little bit later on, but let's really get this thing going by the news that came down shortly after we posted last week's podcast, that Stan Bowman was able to make a deal to rid the Blackhawks of not Marian Hossa, but his contract. Technically, it was Marian Hossa because no one really wanted to see him go, but that $5.2 million cap. And he found a familiar suitor in the Arizona Coyotes. I think, you know, not only are a bunch of Chicagoans usually fleeing to the desert during the winter months, but there's so many former Blackhawks down there as well. And it included Vinny Hinostroza being part of that package. In return, the Blackhawks do get Marcus Kruger back. So after a one-year absence, the two-time Cup winner has returned. They also get 3 prospects. You know, one of them is a little bit older. The one everyone's kind of excited about is a 6'3 forward by the name of Mackenzie Entwistle, who we had an opportunity to speak with on Monday afternoon. But Scott, anxious to see, you know, we really haven't talked about this off microphone, but what were some of your initial impressions upon hearing that news? And, you know, a tough pill to swallow in terms of one of the guys the Blackhawks had a lot of promise for in Vinny Hinostroza, but you knew there was going to have to be a price to pay for another team accepting that Marian Hossa contract.
Yeah, I thought a couple of things. It's very weird and odd when you see the release, whether it's through an app on your phone or just on Twitter or something, that Marian Hossa traded. But, I mean, kind of right after you see it, there's a little bit of a shock. You realize that Hossa's always remembered as a Blackhawk. And Stan Bowman said today, on Tuesday, to the media, he's going to be remembered as one of the greatest Blackhawks ever, which, I mean, that's a pretty nice way to phrase it, in an accurate way, I think. And it was huge to get rid of that contract. They, you know, we've kind of seen some dominoes fall with defensemen the Hawks could really lean on in terms of top 4 defensemen. And Stan Bowman kind of not saying too much today, as we'll get into, on what they're going to do. But they need that cap space. They need that cap space to try to do something if they can.
Yeah, so it's now about $8, $9 million or so in cap room that Stan Bowman, I don't think, has ever experienced before during his 10 years or so here as general manager. And before we talk a little bit about that and, you know, his thoughts on whether any more major moves will be made, let's first hear from from Stan on Tuesday afternoon as he addressed the media, talking about Marian Hossa's impact on this franchise, the desire to make a deal, you know, that unfortunately puts Marian Hossa in another uniform per se, you know, in word only, and also the fact that he had to give up Vinny Hinostroza as part of this deal.
Probably appropriate to start by saying that, you know, Marian is going to go down as one of the greatest Blackhawks ever. You know, he's a tremendous person. I think first and foremost, I had the privilege to really be around him on a daily basis for, you know, 10 years. And yeah, I think he played such a pivotal role in the way that our franchise turned the corner. And I think when he came in, he was such a good mentor to our young guys. You know, it's funny to look back on it. It's been, you know, 10 years now since he came on board, and you know, Kane and Taves were just sort of getting into the league, and there isn't a better role model for how to handle yourself on the ice, off the ice, and he played a huge role in that. So obviously it was a difficult trade from sort of the sentimental perspective, because we'd love to not have to do that, but you know, on the practical matter, it was becoming, you know, challenging to try to operate with that contract here, and it necessitated us trying to make it the move that we did make. So, you know, you don't know when those opportunities are going to come to try to make that type of a move. We had a number of talks over the past year trying to see if we could move it, and it, you know, it never worked out for. Not for lack of trying, but when this deal, you know, presented itself and we talked it through, we finally got to the point where we thought it was something we had to take advantage of.
How difficult was it to part ways with Hinostroza in the deal?
Oh, it was tough. I mean, you know, we've had a couple years here where you can see Vinny's right on the doorstep, and he finally, you know, played, you know, over half the year here. So he was, I think he's poised to have a breakout year next year. And, you know, we took a chance on him sort of in the later rounds, and, you know, he really, you know, probably brought more than we even expected. I think he showed right away that next year after his draft that he was going to be an offensive force, and, you know, being a local kid, it's tough, you know, Notre Dame grad, so we have that connection, and it's never easy trying to do that, but we tried to make that deal work in every other way possible, but you know, they obviously said that he had to be in it. So at the end of the day, we wish Vinny the best. You know, I think he's got a long career ahead of him.
And Scott, what we haven't mentioned so far is that another aspect of that deal was the fact that Jordan Osterley, who had his ups and downs, flashed at certain points last season in his first full season in the NHL, or almost full season in the NHL, he was a part of that deal as well. And that loosens a bit of the logjam for the 2018-2019 Blackhawks on the blue line. You had a lot of the same type of guys who were going to be in competition in training camp. This opens one more door. Perhaps it's, you know, for one of the young guys, or it's, you know, most of the guys that we saw at some point last season to establish themselves in training camp, or, you know, perhaps eventually hurt themselves or be a part of another deal that the Blackhawks might make down the road.
Yeah, he had an up-and-down season last year. I thought he really started gaining some confidence towards the end of the season. You really saw him put a lot of pucks on net, kind of from all over. So I think it could have been interesting to see what he would do in a Hawks sweater this year. And like you said, Chris, he'd be in the mix at camp. But, you know, they're going to need somebody maybe a little more poised and confident than he would have gotten to if he did make a jump up. I think they just need more from their defensemen as a whole. That's why we're still wondering what's going to happen for a trade, if they're going to happen.
Yeah, and with Vinny Hinostroza now gone, a lot of people were projecting him to be, you know, a top six forward, perhaps be on the opposite side of Jonathan Taves with Brandon Saad on one side. But I think when all is said and done, with all due respect to Vinny and what he flashed this past season in establishing himself as an NHL player, you know, if you're going to be a Stanley Cup contender, Vinny Hinostroza is more of, you know, their second, third, or even fourth line forward. The problem the Blackhawks now have, or at least perhaps they have confidence in, someone else to come up and step into that role they just didn't get a body back right now for that point. So that's another equation that's going to have to be figured out here, either between now in training camp with a move or during training camp for someone to step up.
Well, it's tough to see for a couple of reasons, not just because Vinny was so fast and had an interesting skill set, but, you know, now a couple times we're starting to see patterns where, because of these big contracts, and look, I mean, it's a very good argument to make that Hossa was the best free agent signing, not just in Blackhawks history, but in Chicago sports history. So you kind of just have to do what you have to do to unload that contract so they get the cap space back. Now that deal's over. Now he's gone, and he's not going to play anymore. But you're also seeing a pattern with young guys being traded. You know, you go back to Teravainen. I know Panarin's not that young, but he obviously had a bright future, and now Hinostroza. And in terms of local guys, you know, him and Hartman, I know fans are really excited to see how those guys would develop, and you want to see those guys on the same team if you're a fan. So, yeah, it's tricky, but you got to do what you got to do to unload that contract.
And the Zamboni's job is done. It's a little bit quieter.
I missed it already. It was some good hockey ambiance for our podcast.
Right. So, yeah, you made the comparison about...
You're shivering here, too, aren't you? It's cold here.
I'm fine. I got the... You have a sweater out, and it's... Five outside. You made the comparison, though, about the Teravainen, and yes, we knew this was going to be a bit of a painful part of trying to unload the contract, as it was with Brian Bickell a couple of years ago. They had to throw in Teravainen, and now I don't think Vinny's going to have quite the, you know, doesn't have quite the top end that Teuvo Teravainen does, but you knew this was going to have to be part of the equation, and it's going to be interesting to see how this all flushes out in terms of someone else who can step up and take Vinny's spot on that roster. There are candidates, or there were candidates down in Rockford from what we saw during the playoff run. Now it's about extending some of those guys and showing that they're capable here at the next level. Now, that also dovetails into the conversation about whether another move has been made. And we'll hear Stan Bowman talk about this momentarily, but he certainly wasn't giving any indication, not that he would, that something is imminent right here, either in July or August, or, you know, maybe perhaps before even training camp starts. I know a lot of Blackhawk fans are probably hoping that that's the case. We've tossed a couple of names around in previous podcasts as well, a certain name in Carolina. But I think for now, Stan has to say, you know, he has to hold his cards close to the vest, whether this is going to be the roster that shows up come second week of September or another move is made now that he has the cap.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. He almost has to not show his hand at all. He was talking this way. He's been like this the last few press conferences, in his best interest, and he was like this right before the trade for Hossa's contract. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, he's not going to say, oh, you know, we're definitely going to throw this amount of money and these prospects and this guy to get this guy from this team. That's just not how it works. So will they do something? We'll see, but he's not going to flat out tell us.
A little more lengthy chunk of sound now from Stan at his Tuesday press conference, talking about where, you know, conversations tend to die down here right after that wave of free agency after July 1st. He was also asked here whether he believes this is a playoff caliber roster as it is right now. And then toward the end, I asked him a bit about whether he feels he needs to make another move to address a certain area on the roster. More from Stan Bowman here on Tuesday.
Each year, teams have surprises, good and bad, in camp. You know, I think our team's the same way. I think you have some ideas on how your lines are going to look or how your players are going to be ready, and sometimes guys surprise you in a good way, and sometimes maybe it's not what you think. So there will be some adjustments, I think, around the league, but probably not a lot of activity. If you look back in the last couple of seasons, in the late July and August are quieter as far as transactions. But, you know, there's also some arbitration cases coming up around the league. Those might get settled ahead of time, but if they do go to arbitration, if the number's not the way the team likes it, they might be looking to do some things. So there is a possibility of some moves, but probably closer to training camp is more when changes might happen.
With the money you've created with the Hossa deal, is that something you want to utilize before the season, or do you see that more as a long-term use?
Well, it's an option. You know, if we can find the right player or the right situation, we certainly have more options now than we did before. I wouldn't say we have to do something. I think, you know, having cap space is an asset in and of itself. So things will come along maybe in the summer or maybe in the beginning part of the year where teams, you know, have a couple players that make their team unexpectedly, and they make some other players more expendable, and in the past we probably haven't really been a good match for those type of situations because we didn't have the cap room at that time. So now we're going to be in the mix with those types of things. So you know, whether we use it right away or whether we use it during the season, you know, I think the nice thing is we have the flexibility now going in to the coming years where we're going to need cap room, all that and more to sign the young players. Like, you know, I think it's a good example looking at some of the players we have here. We've got some really high-end prospects coming through in the next couple of years that are going to earn their way to the league. And you know, it's exciting to see. Not just, we talked a little bit about Henry and Nicholas, but Adam Boqvist, you know, just one day on the ice, he was fun to watch. I mean, he's got electric offensive abilities. He's really smooth with the puck, and I think we'll see as the week goes on that he's going to be a really fun player to watch.
If you stand pat, are you okay with this team as is? Do you feel like you've done enough for, I guess, from what you saw last season?
Yeah, we had a few things we wanted to add, and we were able to do that in the players we've signed already. We also have some young players that, you know, had some good endings to their season in Rockford. You know, they made a nice run there, and I think a few players showed that they're probably knocking on the door to be in the NHL. So when you add up those guys and some new faces, and I think we're going to see some new looks on our team next year. And hopefully we can, you know, see all the other sort of mainstays come back hungrier than ever and on top of their games and trying to, you know, push to be better. And I think that's that combination of all those factors will give us some reason for optimism.
If you stand pat, do you think this team can make the playoffs again?
Yeah, that's our goal. You know, I think your goal is to win the Stanley Cup, but you got to get in the playoffs first. So that's what we're focused on, and we need a lot of things from our group. And I think as we start out in training camp, we're gonna set our goals internally and stay focused on that. You have to get off to a good start, and you have to have your players who had good seasons last year try to build on that. So, you know, we're looking at young players like DeBrincat and Schmaltz, and, you know, it's not always easy your second year in the league because you get more attention. So, you know, we've talked to those guys about it, and I think they've been training hard, and, you know, are obviously the top guys are, I think, you know, poised to really come out strong. So, you know, that we're going to have some new players in the mix, not a whole new group, but, you know, enough new players that that it's going to give a different look to the team, and I think it's going to energize our guys. And I know the guys are very hungry and motivated to get back to the playoffs.
That said, Stan, I know you're not trying to force any issues, but is there something you'd still like to do to the roster before opening night?
I don't know if there's one. You know, we've added a player at different positions, forward, defense, and goalie. So I guess it would. There isn't one thing that we need to do. I think we're always trying to make our team better. It's not just in the next few weeks. Even when we get to camp, if we don't change our group, we're going to look to try to upgrade along the way. So, you know, we were able to add some new players at different positions already. As we go along over the next month or two, if there's a player that's going to make our team better, then we're going to pursue it.
Stan Bowman saying what he has to say concerning this roster as it is right now, whether Blackhawk fans are buying in as to whether this is a playoff team or as it is, or whether another move has to be made, an area has to be addressed. Again, this is a wait-and-see approach. We hate to do the old standard broadcast time will tell type of thing, but you know, there's still a lot of time between now and training camp, and who knows what Stan may or may not have up his sleeve. Now, back to what's going on this week here at the development camp. Second straight year they've had this format in which they're just strictly doing drills on the ice for, what, an hour and 15, hour and a half, breaking up two groups of 21 players each. And obviously most of the eyes are on the recent high draft picks, including the five defensemen who have been drafted in the first two rounds each of the last 3 years. you know, at least in terms of the last two first-round picks in Henry Jokiharju, and it is Jokiharju, he clarified that, and what we saw a couple weeks ago from Adam Boqvist, you can see they have that natural God-given ability. Now it's a matter of, yeah, the greenness on that blue line getting a little less green. What are some of your impressions on guys that have flashed out a little bit to you, as difficult as that is to evaluate when they're just doing drills out there?
Yeah, I think most people have been kind of looking to Jokiharju, Boqvist, Bowden, and Mitchell. I think Hillman got lost in the shuffle a little bit, but I really kind of paid attention to Hillman today. And it was interesting. I asked him, I thought maybe the team somewhat paired him and Jokiharju together in a bunch of drills to see what their chemistry might be like, because the brass is here watching. But he said, no, they just kind of fell in the line that way, and I thought I liked their chemistry. I know they're just drills, but I thought they looked really nice. Jokiharju did a great job defending on a particular play, and I saw Hillman make a real nice crisp pass to exit the zone. So I thought Hillman's looked really good, and look, he's a guy who has 4 games NHL experience with the Hawks last year. None of these other guys have that, and he scored his first NHL goal only in his second game. So I think he's got a lot of promise, and I think something I noticed with Jokiharju right away that Bowman said is that he looks bigger. He looks like he put on muscle. Mm-hmm. And Stan had a little more insight into how much he trained this offseason to get that NHL-type body through preparation, and I think he definitely did that. It was interesting when we talked to him on Monday that he said the aspect of his game he wants to work on, and we've all been saying and hearing that it's defense, his own end he needs to get better at. Per some reports, the team said that. But he said he wants to be more physical, and he kind of described it as in battling for the puck, more physical. I just put hits on guys, but I've seen him put hits on guys in drills. So I think it's a little of both. I think he wants to make his presence known, maybe because he did get bigger, or it's just another way for him to stand out. But it's going to be really interesting to see how he goes through and finishes this camp, and assuming he'll get invited to training camp again, how he'll do there, because he is a lot bigger, and he still looks good, and he's got a lot of offensive talent, and I think he knows this is a huge opportunity for him.
Let's hear from Stan one more time on Jokiharju specifically. And the Hawks aren't shying away from pumping the kid's tires in terms of being a possibility that he does make this team out of training camp, even after just turning 19 years old last month. Here's Stan on the 2017 first round draft pick.
He's an impressive all around player. I think the one thing he did last year, offensively, he had a great season, but he really learned how to be a two-way defenseman. And I think that's probably going to be the one thing, the biggest jump for him is going to be, you know, can you defend? I think his offensive skills are elite, and I was really impressed when I saw him for the first time. He really trained hard. Like he looks like an NHL type body right now. I think a year ago, he's always been a fit kid, but I think he really did work hard on that. So I was impressed with the way he came into camp in great condition, and you can tell he's trained hard. So physically, that's probably the one thing that's the challenge. You're going up against the biggest and the strongest kids. So, he took some strides there, and I think it's going to be how does he do in training camp on the defensive side.
Scott, perhaps the most important thing, though, no matter how he flashes in training camp and if he proves to be good enough to make this roster and be an immediate contributor in the 2018-2019 season, perhaps the most important thing is he is going to have to be psychologically strong, because at 19 years old, there, if he makes this roster, there's going to be some welcome to the NHL moments. And, you know, we've seen the likes of Gustav Forsling and even Jan Ruda last year looking so good the first couple of months of the season. And then, you know, they have a little crisis in confidence if things fall by the wayside, or they're hitting that NHL wall, the grind of the season. So even if he makes this team out of training camp, that's going to be his greatest asset is going to have to be, mentally tough and being ready for this grind at such a tender age.
Yeah, it has to be that. And it can go either way for guys when they're making that leap to the NHL. I mean, these guys play this game their whole lives since they can walk, they're skating, and still when they get knocked on their butt for the first time, you see what they're made of. And I think with the preparation he's done that Bowman talked about a little bit, and him wanting to seize this moment, he said, I asked him on Monday if he thinks this is his time, if he's going to make the jump here, if he wants to start opening night roster with the Hawks. He said, yeah, he's dreaming big. And, you know, why set your sights lower. So I think he's definitely going to make it happen. Unfortunately for him, though, there is something I'm very disappointed in. It's the big disappointment at camp so far. You know, usually there's good surprises in camps and good surprises during the NHL season, but big disappointment that his nickname is not Joker, it's Hank.
Hank. So that's Hank is
calls him Hank apparently.
Yeah, Hank is the Finnish Henry. Joki Haru. I better be.
Maybe it'll grow on me.
My disappointment so far, but perhaps it will be answered in the scrimmage on Friday. You know, they have these guys divided into the two groups. Joki Haru is what's being called Group A, and a number of the other defensemen, you know, the high-end prospects in Boqvist, Boudin, and Chad Kriss and Ian Mitchell, as a matter of fact, they're all in a separate group, so they'll all be teammates during that scrimmage at 9:30 on Friday morning, and my hope is that still that Kriss and Boudin will be paired together as a defense. Actually, I'm not sure if you want to do that or not.
I don't know. I haven't heard the correct pronunciation yet. Usually they tell us upon request when we write about or talk about these guys per being on a radio station. But I think anyone who's affiliated with WGN has to pronounce it Boudin.
No. Yeah.
Nicholas Boudin is actually Nicholas Boudin.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if he's going to want that. We got a chance to talk to him Monday. I didn't pull him aside and go through all that. The kid's got enough going through his brain right now.
Much pressure at this point to change his name.
Exactly. And by the way, for those of you who aren't able to make it out here on Friday, of course, this is all open to the public, but the scrimmage to cap off development camp is at 9:30 at MB Ice Arena on Friday, and plans are in the works for it to be streamed live on ChicagoBlackhawks.com and all their social media platforms as well, so you can keep an eye on all the action at that scrimmage. Check out some of these prospects. I'm going to be joined by former Blackhawk Adam Burrish. I'm glad about that because, you know, there won't be any empty periods where there's no talking going on. And Bern, I won't necessarily be doing play-by-play, but, you know, we'll just be talking about certain individuals and what these guys are going through, certain plays. The play-by-play will be for you guys to see during the stream. So, again, plans are in the works on ChicagoBlackhawks.com and all their social media platforms to have that scrimmage streamed live. And we also want to make a point, too, that our next podcast is going to be coming up at the convention. It's going to be airing live on WGN Radio.
It's not bad. Look, it was a great time last year. I was out without my co-host Mike Jacobson at the time. I had a wedding, so I'm very happy to have you. You know, I had to deal with John Whiteman and Troy Murray. Those guys,
you're in much better hands back then.
No, they were awesome. I was so glad that they were willing to do it last year, and I'm ready to have a great time. We're going to hear who our guests are, but there's a lot of fans there last year. It was really a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
So that's going to come up on the Saturday of the convention, Saturday, July 28th. It's going to be at noon. We'll provide some details in terms of who our guests are going to be, and you know, we're any of you out there at the convention, if you're there, and of course we want you to listen on WGN Radio, but we'll also provide the location for any fans out there if they want to hang out with us, and perhaps who knows, maybe ask some questions of their own to who our guests are, and we'll certainly tweet out that information, put it on the Facebook page as well.
So, sounds good. Yeah, I might do a contest actually if. To see who wants to, maybe like the first two, three people that participate or I see participating can ask questions. So we'll see. I'll do something fun for the fans.
Yeah, and you'll dive into your prize package too to have plenty of prime giveaways, I'm sure. Scott, tell us, you're working for Chicago Magazine too in terms of covering this development camp?
Yes, always good when I get to pull double duty, doing it at Prospect Camp here the first 2 days. I just filed a piece that will run online for Chicago Magazine, so ChicagoMag.com should be up there Thursday, the editor told me, so look for that. I'll tweet it out, put it on Facebook.
And also the Chelsea blogger, as always, on WGNRadio.com. And again, a reminder to follow us on Twitter. I'm at BowdenTweets. Scott's at Scott King Media. And stay glued to the Facebook page, Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy for everything Hawks, including the Chelsea blogger blog. And remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. We want to thank Joe Romano once again for putting the podcast together. And again, want to invite you to listen, if not show up at the convention for the next podcast coming up on Saturday, July 28th, noon. Again, we'll provide details on the location over at the Hilton Chicago in the South Loop and any guests we might have. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you on Saturday, the 28th at noon.